funny.
That's crazy though. Yeah, he was my, like, we talk all the time too. Really? He's my favorite companion. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I have some stories.
I was probably there.
Yeah, yeah. Bowling alley. Yeah.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's yep.
Have you been able to, you know, stay grounded in what you believe in, yep, and still be as successful as you are?
I've been humbled a lot in my career, through mistakes, through bad choices, stuff like that. But I would not be here without God at all. And Jesus Christ at all, period.
Can you talk about some of those trials? Like, this, like, yeah, the story seems in like intriguing, that, you know, from 18,000 to 10x that. Like, sometimes when we hear success stories, what are the, like, can you tell us an opportunity where you failed?
Very open about it, because this was a while back. But so as I got there, made a super big mistake by messaging women online that were messaging me. Cheated on my wife virtually, I guess you could say, which was the hardest thing in our marriage, like very, very hard, to where she hated my career. She hated me, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And the really the only thing that brought us back was the gospel and the atonement.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Brothers in the Foyer. I'm here with my brothers Will, Ray, and we have a very, very special guest with us. It's one of my brothers, coaches and mentors, Jace Gillis.
How's it going, everyone?
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Hey, thanks for joining us today, man. You are actually the first of our series that we are doing. And Brothers in the Foyer, which is like our business, faith, and family series. As you know, the gospel is all-encompassing, and so we live day-to-day lives, and so we wanted to get your perspectives of how you've been able to be such a successful businessman and at the same time live the gospel. So thanks for being a part of
our show. Thank you. Happy to be
here. So I want to do the honors and introduce Jace to our show. Jace, his father is a convert from Alabama to the church, and met his mother, who was an inactive member in Utah. His mother's family immigrated here from Iceland specifically for the church and were the first Icelandic immigrants to Utah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Viking blood, baby.
Loved it. Because of them, he was born and raised in the gospel. He served as a full-time missionary in Roseville, California, where he met his wife, who was a sister missionary.
That's right.
So you and Ray actually have some commonality there in terms of...
Now I know how I know you, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. One of my cousins.
Okay.
Fa? Elder Fa?
I was his trainer.
Were you his trainer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We were together for like 3 transfers. I trained him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
This is why we do the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Oh, that's crazy.
Awesome, man.
That's awesome.
Small world, man. So Jace was actually sealed in the Bountiful Temple and now has 4 beautiful kids. His whole life, he's been in leadership, whether it was in sports, his mission, or his professional career. At 23, he became a top producer for his first year in real estate and quickly became a top 500 realtor. At 28, he owns his own mortgage company, as well as one of the most top producing real estate teams in the U.S., which I'm a part of and a part of it.
Yes.
So that's Jace's introduction. And I want to add, not to your bio, of course, but just for me personally, as I joined your real estate team, I have been on a life high, so to speak.
I love that.
I was in real estate prior. But when I joined your team, I actually learned how to do real estate, and it's showing dividends. So I really appreciate
all you've done for myself and what you do for our team and keeping us motivated and getting that cheering gift or that shift, you know, that we need in our mindset to be successful in our careers. So
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. And that's how we know each other was from not only Fua, but just all those accolades that were just mentioned. We became friends on social media, and you were posting like day in, day out about real estate, and it's where he became like the expert. So this was a while ago, and then he mentioned, I was like, oh, Chase Giles, like never met, we've never spoken, but I feel like I know this dude in regards to being that expert in real estate, because it takes like that marketing was so great, because it takes like 42 impressions to become like an expert on something as far as social media. So yeah,
I actually stopped at 42. So that's perfect. That's awesome.
But yeah, no, too funny.
That's crazy though. Yeah. He was we talk all the time too. Really? He's my favorite companion. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I have some stories.
I was probably there.
Yeah. Yeah. Bowling alley. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yep. That's crazy.
Okay.
How did it, dude? That's funny. Wow, we're crazy. Both like bowling alley. Yeah, right. Yeah, that was the day.
Sorry for what.
Oh my gosh,
that's super legit.
That's hilarious.
Man, before we dive into this thing, is there anything else you like to express about your accolades? Because you're very successful, and you got to where you are in a very short span in terms of the success that you have. So if there's anything that you just want to breathe off in terms of what you've been able to achieve, how you've been able to do it, we definitely want to hear that.
Yeah. As far as professional career, so I started real estate when I was 23. I'm now 29. But as you know, you've heard the story a lot, but I was, me and my wife were newly married. I had no idea what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a firefighter. And I saw a little bit of blood, and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do that. So I had family and friends suggest I should be in real estate, so I got into it. And that's where I found Spring. I was on my own for a few days, found Spring, who's the CEO of Utah Life, and just did everything she said and changed my whole life. My first year, I made 18 grand a year out of warehouse, making well over that. And then through the years, like I mentioned, becoming one of the top agents in the whole state of Utah. And then quickly becoming an owner of one of the top teams. And we're nationally recognized as one of the top teams in the nation. But most importantly, my biggest win is just providing for my family. My wife didn't have a really big, upbringing and not a whole lot of stuff. And that's my biggest motivation, just give her an awesome life and my kids. And that's my biggest flex, is just being able to build wealth for them, buy investment properties for them, take them, travel the world, do a lot of fun stuff. And that's the biggest thing. Real estate is just a vehicle. And but it's a really good vehicle. It's been really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Add to it. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
So, the biggest part, and I mentioned this briefly, but we wanted to do a series like this because we're all members of the church here, and we know that our belief is a big part of who we are. But we're also humans who have careers, we have jobs, we have families to take care of, right? And so being able to integrate those things that we believe into our day-to-day life and into our careers. Now, how has that played a role, like, in your success, living what you believe? Because off camera, you mentioned there's a dark side to what we do, to this industry. So how have you been able to, stay grounded in what you believe in and still be as successful as you are?
Hey, for your fam. Before we get back to the show, I wanted to take a moment to say thank you for all of our listeners. Your support means the world to us. If you've been enjoying our content so far and want to help us keep going, please consider making a donation. Your contribution will help us cover the cost of production and bring you even more great episodes. You can donate by visiting the link in our bio. Thanks so much. We'll see you in the foyer.
Yeah, it was hard at first, not necessarily with my beliefs or anything. I'm a person that can say I've never not believed in the gospel and Jesus. I've never wavered as far as that. But it is hard when you start making a lot of money and you kind of get a little bit prideful, right? Mm-hmm. I've been humbled a lot in my career, through mistakes, through bad choices, stuff like that. But I would not be here without God at all and Jesus Christ at all, period. Like, and I recognize that it's, and that was hard at first. Cause again, I was going from, I mean, 18 grand a year with kids is extremely hard.
Can be rough. Right? Yeah.
And then, in within 12 months doing, you know, 10x that, and, it's easy to forget who, gave you all that. And you know what I mean? Who's the real one blessed unit. So I think, where I'm at now in 6 years into this is a lot stronger in it, recognizing like, hey, we've gotten all this because of God, not just Jace and, you know, my wife working hard, being at home. Mm-hmm. So we're grounded. We're not perfect. Yep. I mean, taking four kids to church every six and under, by the way, six and under is our kids. Yep. Dang. I guess seven and under now. So
church probably like once a quarter.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Sometimes it's just sacrament and then we bounce. But, that's to me, you can take real estate and everything away. And, we still have the gospel. And that's the most important thing. Yep. Is that like, in the end, I'm not going to take any of this success with me or whatnot. I do it to give them an awesome life, but the most important thing is the church, and definitely strive to be really good at it. Not perfect, but it's grounded us for sure in everything. Whenever we go through trials and all that with our career,
so. Can you talk about some of those trials? Like this, like yeah. The story seems in like intriguing that you know from 18,000 to 10x that like. Sometimes when we hear success stories, what are the, like, can you tell us an opportunity where you failed?
Yes.
Where it was a growth. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go deep. We good with that?
Let's go deep.
All right. So,
pause. Just kidding.
You're like, no, we're not gonna do that. Yeah, I think, so for me, full transparency, my weakness growing up was never like, I've never had a drop of alcohol. I've never done drugs. Like, I haven't had soda since I was like seven. It's not because of the church. I'm weird. Like, this is all I drink, right? But my weakness was women, right? Mm. And so when I went from, you know, working at the warehouse, and it was a very horrible environment. Like, it was like, everyone there, hopefully they don't see this video, they still work there, right? Come and it's just, they all told me I'd fail at real estate, just a negative environment. And when I got into real estate, again, that first year, you know, we made well over six figures, which we never even imagined that. We didn't have a whole lot of expenses or anything. And that made me really, really prideful. I was getting a lot of attention from clients, from social media, started getting attention from other women, right? Which I've made a video not too long ago on this all, and I'm very open about it because this was a while back. But so as I got there, made a super big mistake by messaging women online that were messaging me, cheated on my wife virtually, I guess you can say, which was the hardest thing in our marriage, like very, very hard, to where she hated my career. She hated me, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And really the only thing that brought us back was the gospel and the atonement. And it's actually still an ongoing process. It's something we practice all the time, right? So we recently had a thing kind of go down with extended family where this was all my dirty laundry was brought out to social media again from 6 years ago. And to me, it's – I don't care what people think about me. I don't care about mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But the atonement has really helped us in that. And now me and my wife are stronger than ever. I'm not saying that needed to happen, but we're way – in a better position. Like I'm crazy about her. She's crazy about me. That's not even a temptation period at all. A lot stronger only because of the church, which it was a battle, man. Like I got caught. So it wasn't even me owning up to it. Got caught and which I'm glad I got caught, caused me to, you know, go to the bishop, go to my stake president, couldn't take the sacrament, and all that. And, you know, just a fight and battle for 6 years. Where we are now, that was probably the biggest downfall in my career. Like at that point, I didn't care about the money, I didn't care about my career, I didn't care about any of my clients. I'm like, I'm literally gonna lose my family if I keep doing this crap. But that's the beautiful thing about the gospel is no matter what you do, you can always come back, right? And that's it needed to happen, as bad or off as that sounds. But I'm way more not perfect in the gospel again, as far as attendance with four kids. We try a lot, but I've never, ever doubted. I've never doubted the church, never doubted our leaders, never doubted the truth at all, because it's changed my life. Like I've like everyone, I've made a lot of mistakes, and the only thing that brings me back is the atonement. So,
yeah. Golly, no, right. No,
that was. That you're like, we were not expecting this on the show.
No. This is great, because I was expecting like a failure, like, hey, I made a wrong decision in business, and, and it made me lose this. Right. But you tied business, like you said at the beginning, with family. Like, so it almost sounds like it's intertwined. You like, sometimes I see it myself, like, I'm like, business first, because that's the support, but then I'll lose the family. So I'm glad that thanks for sharing that, because it's like the way that he shared it too is like a scar, not a wound. we're still working as he can look back and say like, oh wow, it looked like it's a turning point, and he tied it to his success with the business and family, like, so do you find those things intertwined like that?
Yeah, so I don't believe, I think what that taught me was there's no such thing as balance. I don't believe in balance at all. Mm-hmm. I believe you just show up for what you want to show up for. So like, if I need to show up for my business, I'm going to show up for it. If I want to show up for my family, I'm going to show up for it. There's no such thing as juggling or balancing. You just show up for what you want to show up for, which that taught me.
Elder Bednar shared, I think it was at a conference, where he talked about balance and how there's really no such thing. But like
he said, he said the exact same thing. Yeah.
Balance is bogus. There's no such thing. You can only do one thing in one given moment. I'm here right now. Am I neglecting my wife? Can't do it all in the same moment. People stress over and over. Oh, I'm doing this, but I should be doing that. Well, you're not doing either one very well.
So it must be true. It must be true. Jason
said it, bro. I learned a lot so much. We can end the episode.
Trust me, man. I get chewed out when I try to balance things. And when I say chewed out, by my wife. Because like, I could be sitting, you know, and just having that quality time, right, with my family. But I got my laptop on my lap trying to look at homes and stuff. She's talking to me. And she hates when she feels like she's not being listened to. Yeah. And so I'm a horrible multitasker. So if I'm doing something, my attention is not where it needs to be in the moment. So I feel like that's just great. Like, that'll help me for sure. Getting rid, like, just being present in the moment, you know.
Yeah. And the only people, I can't remember where I heard it, but the only people that remember how hard and how long you worked is your kids and your wife. No one else cares. Right? So it's like, that's where, like, with what I teach you guys on the team of like owning your morning a lot is because it's really because that experience too, right? Like that whole thing ended up happening because I was all business, all work, which drew me and my wife apart. Nothing really even she did. It was me, right? But I was always working, and then she kind of got distant because her husband's always working, because I wasn't owning my mornings and I wasn't owning my day. I was doing all that, right? And which caused me to get comfortable, and then let my guard down. And then, I mean, this wasn't even too back to the mistake. It wasn't like with one or two women. It was with a lot of women. Yeah. Like, it was like, I was always working, which caused me to feel like, oh, my wife doesn't see how hard I'm working. She doesn't this, which like she was right. Mm-hmm. To where that's, I just was going off on that nonsense. But back to like the balancing, that's why I teach you guys that, is because I want more than I'm not trying to word this. Like, for you specifically and the other teammates, yes, I want you to crush it in business. I want you to make a bunch of money, but I want you to become a way better husband and father, like, more than anything. And you do that by making a lot of money, owning your mornings. But for me, with the no balancing, I own my mornings so that when I walk through the door, like, a lot of the times I just leave my computer in my car. Mm. Like, I don't care if someone calls me, they'll figure it out, or I'll call them tomorrow. Mm. Right? Like, I have to walk through the door, and it's as if, like, it's dad's been there all day, you know?
Yeah.
And
No, that's very useful. I mean, that's the whole point of this episode, is there's a lot of working men, there's a lot of working women out there. And so that struggle with balancing family life and work life, it literally can tear families apart, right?
Totally.
And so this, we are hoping it could be a help and can give those individuals that have that struggle or have went through it, like yourself or how I've experienced it, some sort of guide to basically just have a more fulfilling life by putting our attention where it needs to be.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Talk about, Jace, you talked about how you went through that, you know, and I've went through similar things where I've reached the lowest of lows, you know. Yeah. And there was like one or two things that brought me back out of that. What was something that brought you back, and what kept you going? Because that right there, that's huge, you know. Yeah. You could have easily gave up.
Totally.
But what was it that like brought you back from that?
It was one, like, my wife giving me an ultimatum, like, you know what I mean? If you keep doing this, like, or if this happens again, you're losing me and the kids. And that's where I'm like, goodness, like, I don't. And it's not, this sounds so backwards. And it's like, when I was doing that too, like, just like when you know you're doing something wrong, it's like right when you're done making the bad decision, you're just like, what am I doing? Like, this is awful. So it was just really getting the ultimatum, but, like, to where I'm like, okay, I'm not, like, again, back to, like, work doesn't matter, money doesn't matter, success doesn't matter. Like, success out there doesn't matter if you're a massive failure at home, right? So that's what hit me, and I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna lose them. And again, this has been a six-year thing, too, where it's, like, every day I have to constantly, not physically, but constantly bring her flowers, right, to earn that trust back. And but what really got me out of it was the love I have for her, the love I have for my kids, and of course the gospel. Knowing that, like, there's nothing I can't do that I can't come back from with the gospel.
Yeah.
But it's been a, I mean, 6 years, man. We're still pulling out of it, like, in ways. We're in our best spot, but there's still stuff where
that comes up. Yeah. Yep. I like how you said that you have to constantly bring her, like flowers, yep, and whatnot. Yeah, assurance.
Yep.
Yeah, man, for myself, I'm like, that was 20 years ago. it's like the forgiveness is there,
yeah,
right? The memory's still there, but it doesn't have the same type of weight.
Yeah,
but we have to acknowledge it. Is what I'm hearing. Yeah,
yeah. I think the biggest thing too, and this was probably 2 months ago that this happened. The biggest thing that finally brought me out of it 2 months ago, and this is, we're talking like years ago at this point, was I knew my wife forgave me because she's still with me, right?
Yep.
It took me a while to realize God forgave me because, like, I was very, very ashamed of myself.
Oh, yeah.
Very ashamed of myself. And because it wasn't back, I keep going back to the mistake, but it wasn't just like messaging women. Like, it was bad. Like, there's pictures involved, like a bunch of bad stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I felt like the worst person of all time. So as of 2 months ago, I joined We Are The They, which is a men's group ran by Jimmy Rex.
Oh, yeah.
And it was our first what's called Ludus event, which is like a gladiator word for something about gladiators. He's going to see this and be like, I told you all about that. anyways, so he has this. It's a three-day event, like 50 men you don't even know. He had us like get in a circle and, he asked questions like it's pretty deep, but like, if you try to commit suicide 2 weeks ago, step in the circle and there was like 15 men that stepped
in.
If you've had, issues with, pornography or cheating on your wife and like all these guys stepped in or haven't in the past. So that whole weekend we're getting like real deep with these other men. Cause men don't have an outlet. They don't have anyone to talk to. Like that's right. Just how our world is men really have no one to go to. That's why the suicide rate's super high. Anyways, so this whole weekend we're going over something that we want to get rid of, right? So mine was finally forgiving myself. So we write it down, and we don't share it with anyone. And then he takes us to a 400-foot cliff, and we jump off a cliff.
Wow.
And this isn't like
I saw that
base video. Jumping.
Yeah,
it's you fall about 250 feet until the rope catches you. And the point is you're killing the old you, and then you're coming back up a new man. So it actually took about 6 years to finally forgive myself, because my thing was just like, forgive yourself and move on. Like, she's forgiven you. God's forgiven you. Everyone I hurt, like, I hurt my parents. Like, they were fully on my wife's side, duly so.
Yeah.
I hurt her family. I hurt our kids, which don't necessarily know about, but I did. All her siblings that loved and trusted me. I knew they all forgave me, but like it was so freaking hard to forgive myself until about 2 months ago when I jumped off a cliff. Wow. So that's really what got me through is, believe it or not, is like the cliff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go jump off a cliff if you make a mistake, but it was life changing for sure.
Wow.
It's deep.
Yo, you and I have more in common than you think. I've actually been really open and transparent on our podcast about my upbringing. But just knowing what you've gone through, I feel like we have a really good idea of like what is most important to you.
Yeah.
You know, from what you've been through and what you were willing to do to get back on solid ground.
Yeah.
So that being said, like what to you, and I feel like we may know, but we can expound on this. How do you, you know, at this point in your career, view success? Like, what is success to you?
Yeah. It's hard. There's a couple of ways. Success is, first and foremost, success at home. Again, work doesn't even matter. Like, if you're no amount of success, I think it was another apostle that said this. Mm-hmm. I'm not just all this, I'm not full of all these smart stuff. but no success in like work life will make up for failure at home, right? So kind of what I said a little bit before. But success to me is a peaceful home, a really, really good marriage. My parents were really, really good, are a really good example. They've been married, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's like 37 years or something like that.
Okay.
Wow. I've never, ever seen them miss a date night. That's success to me.
Wow.
Like ever. I've never seen my, they've gotten, you know, gotten disagreements, but I've never seen my dad yell at my mom ever. So emulating that, which I've yelled at my wife a lot, so I'm not good at that. But that's success. Having your kids like be open with you and feel safe at home, success. As far as financially, I'm a huge believer that you only have one life to do this. So I've chosen to have the mindset of success to me, which is going really, really hard for, you know, 10, 15 years right now so that we never, ever have to worry about money. At all. And my whole career, we haven't worried about money in real estate. But if I stop working, then there's no money. So success to me financially is getting assets, buying investment properties, investing in the right stocks, businesses, all that, to where if I don't want to work, then money's coming in. Yeah. So, but the biggest part is family and gospel too. Even though, again, and I know we can all probably agree that we're not all perfect at it, but success is spiritual, family, and then work. But I think it's all intertwined too. Like if your money's off, your home life, unfortunately, is probably going to be a little bit off. And if your home life's off, your money's going to be off. If your spirituality's off, everything's off. You know what I mean? So I think hopefully that answers that question, but that's what I think it is.
Of course.
I remember heard a Sikh president say, it doesn't have to be a Sikh president, but I heard somebody say that it's like your number one priority is your spouse, because that's who you're gonna go through life with. Next is your kids, right? Then the next tripped me up. I thought it was like, a gospel, and then he's like, "No, your job, because your job supports your kids, and your spouse."
Yeah.
But then it's the gospel. It's Christ, because Christ supports all those that come before. So yeah, just about the same things here. Yeah, I find it tough to. Let's say if I haven't reached that point yet, right? I find myself trying to justify or say, okay, let me sacrifice right now for, you know, I hear this trigger word, not trigger word, but something on social media, you know, delayed gratification, work now. Yeah. And then I put my family in that delayed portion.
Yeah.
But then when I need that time where I'm tired or exhausted, I'm looking for my family, but you know what I mean? It's not there. I mean, do you find that will of trying to, man, I love how we said balance is not a thing. That blew my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what are some things that you...
Most definitely. Me and my wife were talking about this the other night about just like how your spirituality, you being healthy, you know, our finances, all these things play a part into who we are. And most people don't think about that. You know, most people are like, oh, I can be a good businessman and I can be, you know, a crazy person at home. But like everything is tied together. And I really believe that. And that's something I try to like live by every day is, you know, if I haven't read my scriptures or prayed, like, man, work might not be as good as I want it to be, you know. And I really believe that, though. I think, you know, it starts with, you know, being a good father, a good husband. And carrying those same principles over to dealing with your clients and working with different people and stuff like that. So,
love it.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, that's the hope, right? Like, if anything, out of this, I would want our audience to know, like, hey, everyone does things the way they do things. But as we walk through life, if we're able to cement like a foundation, right? I just made a post, because I hit a milestone, you know, in my career a few weeks ago with a certain amount of money in escrow, you know, in 45 days. But, like, I know how that was able to happen. It wasn't me, but I've always kept this. There's one repeated scripture in the Book of Mormon that I have leaned super heavily on, and it's, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, you shall prosper in the land. And that prosperity, not saying is always going to be monetarily, but because I believe first and foremost is spiritually, like I'll prosper spiritually. But there's also a temporal existence that we live where things in this earth are the Lord's and they're his to give. Our thing. And so I've leaned super heavily on the promises that the Lord has given us. Like, hey, if we do what he says, or at least strive our best to do it, he's going to provide for us. And the success just comes and flows. So I've always given my success credit to him. And now hopefully I can use that and just amplify it further in my family life.
Yeah.
You know,
I love it.
So
that's great.
Great, man. This has been awesome. This is awesome.
This is great.
We should do this more often, guys.
Hey, yeah. Hey, let's go to the cliff.
We ain't done. We still going. But I mean, what would you say is like your overarching goal? You know, like you're already a real estate leader. You're a leader in your home. You're victorious in your home. You're coming back from, you know, a major issue in your marriage. You're bouncing back from that because of the Savior. So like, let's say you've achieved a certain financial goal. Like, what is Jace's
drive
outcome? Like, what do you see as far as your outcome? Where do you see yourself?
Yeah. So I'm 29. I've had a goal by the time I'm 30 to make $1 million a year is my goal. Now I only have like 9 months. So is that going to happen? I don't know. So, as far as that, but me and my wife's goal is we want to, where we see ourselves is all our kids actually being homeschooled, just so we can teach them. I mean, we're in a horrible world. So I'm like, I'm done with it. So I'm like, you know, build a home, which, you know, or in our basement or whatever home we're in, a school where we can teach them. We want to own houses in all our favorite locations. So we're pretty rooted in Laie, Hawaii.
Okay.
Have a home there to go and visit. That's where my mother-in-law lives. All her aunties, cousins all live there. So we go there, you know, a couple times a year. And then just travel. Like me and my wife's favorite thing ever is to travel and eat good food and just say yes to things we want to say yes to. So mine's not necessarily like getting to a point I'm like, okay, I'm done working. That will come, but it's really to – instead of being like what society teaches of working till we're 60 and then travel and have fun, it's just to do that the whole time.
Do that now.
So I don't know necessarily the outcome as far as that. I do, as far as my real estate career, I do want to get our team to 100 agents and be a mega team in Salt Lake. Isaiah's like, okay, if it gets there, I'm quitting. But I want to get to 80 to 100 agents to where I don't need to sell houses anymore. I can just coach everyone and do that. And then I do want to be a real estate coach. So now Spring and Justin, who's, you know, my partners, they do that and train agents all over the country. So that's what I want to do, to where I can be on a trip, jump on a coaching call, and then go back to having field trips in Italy with my kids. Having, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to do is that. And
That's the dream, bro.
It's a dream, yeah. So I don't know if there's necessarily an outcome as that, but I do want to do that. And of course, I don't want to work my whole life. But just get enough assets to where it can fund that life to where, honestly, me and my wife don't care about getting, we don't strive to get like this huge mega home. We don't want to do that. Our home is great. We built our home. It's, we finished the basement, but it was, so it's 6 beds, 4 baths. It sounds like a massive home, but it's just a normal 2-story house. We just want to have around that same size house in all our favorite parts of the world. So we're super, if you know me, I'm super, super proud of where my family came from. So my dad's side, my last name's Gillis. It's Gillis, by the way.
Gillis.
You said Giles.
I did.
It looks like Giles or Goliath or Gillis. So. But they came from Scotland. Like if you see me post, I'm obsessed with Scottish stuff and Scotland, all that. And then my mom's family came from Iceland. So like one of our dreams is to have a home, like an Airbnb type thing in the UK, in Scotland. My wife's grandparents have some land in Tonga. We want to own, like build a home there and have that. Like we just want to travel and be like, hey, let's go live there for 4 months. And then we don't have to worry about our kids because they're not in school. Yeah. So that's like the outcome is just work until that's possible. And then the next outcome will come after that.
Nice.
That was probably a mouthful, but whatever.
No.
It's great. How did you meet your wife?
On my mission.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yep. So
was she from Roseville or?
Yeah, this is pretty funny. So she's from everywhere really, but she grew up in Sacramento, which is literally touching our mission. It's basically our mission. Because our temple is the Sacramento Temple. But then she went to BYU, Hawaii. Dad sent the Polynesian Culture Center. So she submitted her papers in Hawaii and got called back to Sacramento.
Wow.
Then she was living in Utah at the time. She went to like senior year in Utah at Bingham. But then went to, you know, after she graduated, went to Hawaii, submitted her papers, got called back to Sacramento. So her whole family flew on the plane with her to her mission to meet all the rest of the family welcoming her to the mission. It's kind of funny. You know what I mean? So all these polys in the airport and all that. But so we met. I was her zone leader in one of the areas. So we were in the same area for like 3 transfers. My heart was locked, by the way. Don't
you guys
worry.
Ain't going to exchanges?
Yeah, we only did it on P days, so I'm just kidding.
Yo, I tell my wife that. She's like, no, you were being cold. I'm like, I mean, that's what we're counseled to do. Lock our hearts up, boom, so we can stay focused.
Yes.
No matter how many ways I tell her that.
Yeah.
No, I was being cold. I was being dismissive. I'm like, I was striving to be a good missionary.
Yeah. So that's where we met. And then she would tell you a different story, but this is the truth. Just so you know. So she I had the opportunity to be, I hate saying this because you know how people are like, oh, you were the AP. That was this guy. I don't like saying that, but you know what I mean? So I was the assistant to the president. I was really close with our mission president. He lives in Bountiful. And Jackie, my wife, sister of Akapuna at the time, she went home and transferred for me because she was going to Tonga when the king was getting his inauguration or whatever. Mm. So me and my companion were the ones that drove everyone to the airport. And so obviously I thought she was really cute, but you know what I mean? Obviously, but I'm like,
who's this?
I'm like, she's exactly. So she's leaving and I'm like, hey, Sister Vakapuna, say what up to the mountains in Utah for me when you get there. And that was it. I'm like, but I like in my mind, I'm like, I will find you when I get home. the next P day, I get an email from her. She found my email because she still had the access to like, the mission emails.
Right, right.
And she sent a picture of her doing like a peace symbol to the mountains. And I'm like, she's not a missionary anymore, so I can write her right now. And so I started writing her, but I told my mission president, I'm like, hey, just so you know, I'm writing Sister Vakapuna. She sent me an email or whatever, so we're messaging on P days. He's like, you know what? I was actually gonna tell you. I want you to, when you get home, I want you to go ask her on a date. And I'm like, if you said it, it's doctrine, right? So, present, you know, I will do whatever you say. So we, my date was the worst. I forgot how to talk to girls. So we went. I asked her on a date. We went to. We walked around Temple Square like 6 times, and then went to Chick-fil-A. And then I'm like, I really like you. Like, she's like, what the heck? And then she was dating another guy at the time, like pretty serious. Like he was trying to introduce her to his parents and mission president. Mm. And then Mr. Steele, your girl came in and
Okay. Hey, yo, let's go.
That's right. That's right. It's funny though. She never thought she was gonna marry a white guy. Was even an option. Like, she's only dated other polys like ever.
Right.
And I actually, from a very young age, knew I was gonna marry a brown girl, no matter what the race was. I'm like. My favorite Disney princess was Jasmine. Like, she got the brown skin, dude. So my mom knew, and every girl I ever dated was like Native American, Polynesian, all that stuff. And so, yeah, when I saw her, I'm like, I will do whatever it takes. Yeah, she checked all my boxes, and I'm like, yeah, I will make this happen. And I won. So 4 kids later, we're here. Hey. That's how we met.
That's tight. That's tight. See, when you know what you want.
Go get it, man.
Go get it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't beat that. Mm-hmm. How about with the if you could be with the culture like a buffet, what are some things that you've taken? What are some things you're like, hey, I'm staying away from that?
It was hard. The tongue culture, it was hard at first. We were raised very, very different to completely. I won't even say I have a culture, like, you know, yeah. What I mean? But we do, but, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like, just very, very different. And I get it now that I have money, but at first we were on our honeymoon and I get a call from her grandma asking to pay rent. I'm like, I don't have any money. I'm like, I literally have like $100 in our bank account. I can't even pay my own rent. And I caused some conflict. I'm like, Jackie, what are we doing? I'm like, and in the culture, that's what you take care of the elders and all that, which I totally get now. And it's actually been a weakness probably my whole marriage, because there's times where I'm like, I got to take care of my family first. I'm not saying I'm not going to, but like, got to feed my kids first, my wife.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that's something that I would take away, but that was hard.
You take a little bit on your plate, huh?
A little bit on my plate. I think what I love about the culture, though, is the family aspect. Like, it literally is family above everything.
Right.
I think... on the other end of that stick too, which my wife agrees to, and which probably most polys can probably agree, is sometimes family's over even the gospel sometimes. And yeah, it's like, it gets a little toxic. Like, we have some very major problems with her father. He's not going to watch this, whatever. It's weird. Cause like, everyone, they're all about family, but then at the same time, they're not, you know what I mean? So, which I'm not saying every Polynesian family is like that. I was very attracted to the culture because of the family stuff, and I can throw down some food. So that's what attracted me too. And being loud, I was always loud, outgoing. And all my poly friends used to say I was the inside out coconut. I was white on the outside, brown on the inside. So it's been great. I love it. The culture is awesome. We're in the Tongan ward now. So my kids can be raised in the culture and be around other, you know, Tongan boys and girls. And we love it. I love the culture. It's great. Awesome. There's strengths and weaknesses to every culture. Right. So.
Yeah.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
Facts. Take it and move it.
Yeah. Don't call me the inside out coconut. I'm pretty sure I gave myself
hashtag. Hashtag.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Like, every Polynesian watch is like, we didn't give you that. You gave that to yourself. Yeah. Like, maybe. But
now I want to, this has been awesome. I want to revert back just a little bit, because I do want to get your perspective on, because you mentioned like your overarching, like what you want to accomplish, right? And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people, they're working and they're maybe just working paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
Or they don't know quite what they're working for, but to survive. Like, what could you tell us, or what advice would you give individuals out there in terms of like developing a specific mindset to truly be successful in their career? Like, how did you develop going from $18,000 a year warehouse person to the real estate leader that you are today?
Yeah. First, you become who you surround yourself with. So the reason my mindset was four was because the 5 to 6 people at the warehouse had been there forever. And we were making like all of us were fathers and all that. We were making like 10 bucks an hour. It was awful. I'm like, this has got to be illegal. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, right.
But my mindset was horrible there. So it really was me clicking, like, do I really want this the rest of my life? Or do I want to be different? So while everyone was talking about how bad their lives were, I would wear a headset for 9 hours a day, listen to motivational books about mindset, listening to real estate stuff because I knew I was going to get into it, and started surrounding myself with that. And then I just cut my communication off really with them. I didn't talk to them at work. And then I think it's when I realized that people get what they want 100% of the time. And that's kind of contradicting.
Ooh, say that again.
People get what they want 100% of the time. Jeez. Right? So, like, if you really wanted it, you'd have it. If you really wanted it. So, for me, like, I know I look really good in this shirt right now. Right? But, fitness for me has been, like, I will get I said this in team meeting the other day. I have a red light moment to where if I hit 225, I'm like, nope, I'm not eating for 2 weeks. I'm doing 2 days at the gym, all that stuff.
Right.
But I always have this fitness goal, but do I really want it? Right? Like, I actually want food more. And I want the weekends to have ice cream and popcorn and, you know, go on a date night and eat a lot of good food. Because if I actually wanted to be fit, I would do it. So when I started thinking about that, that mindset, I just really made the decision, and then I didn't have to make any more choices, right? As far as like work. So still working on that with fitness, but with work, I didn't say I'm choosing success. I actually made the decision to where when it came up to, like, I tell you guys this all the time, if I didn't want to go to the office by 8 o'clock, I don't need to even decide because I already made the choice that I want to succeed.
Yeah.
If I didn't want to get, like, it came up and I'm like, you know what? I, like, in real estate, we teach getting 20 real estate conversations a day. If I'm at 15 and I start, like, you know, I can just do it tomorrow. I'm like, I don't even need to have that cross my mind because I already chose to succeed.
Yeah.
And I actually want it, right? And then all of a sudden my life started changing. I think the mindset too, as far as anything, whether you're in real estate or not, is I always, when I came out of the warehouse, I started picturing what was Jace making at first, $100,000. And in my mind, I'm like, hey, he probably wears a suit every day. So I wore a suit every day. He probably was at the office at 7:30. So I was at the office at 7:30 every day. He probably was role playing and reading books and doing this. So I just started doing that. He probably worked out at 5 a.m. in my mind. And I just started doing that. And then all of a sudden I made $100,000. And where people go wrong is they say, you know what, I'll practice my craft when I do make 100K. I'll start wearing a suit when I get more clients, or I'll do all this, right? And then when I got to 100K, I'm like, Jace definitely doesn't wear a suit every day. Like, he doesn't do that. But then I kind of earned my own style, right? Where, you know, wear the Nikes, wear nice clothes, where I have the confidence I can go into any listing, no matter the price point, and sign them. But when I hit 100K, I'm like, okay, Jace making 200K, what does he show up like? Mm-hmm. And he drove a different car in my mind. So I went out and I bought an Audi, and it wasn't expensive. I just, like, an Audi A4. It was like a $25,000 car, whatever. And that, in my mind, that's what Jace did. And he showed up this way and this, and then I made 200. And then I got there. I'm like, okay, what is Jace making? 450 or whatever the next goal was. And I changed everything about it. So it's always literally writing down, what does Jace actually want, or what does that person want? And then, like, okay, Jace making 300K or whatever it is, he probably shows up to his family this way. He probably drives this car. He probably dresses this way. He probably takes care of his health. He reads. He studies. And then I just do all that. And then that's when I find the outcome I want, right?
Yeah.
So as far as mindset, though, the biggest thing for me, like, my why, yes, is my family. It is my kids. It's all that. But really, it's 60-year-old Jace, right? Like, hell to me is meeting the man that I could have became but chose not to.
Yeah.
Like, screw that. I don't want to do that. That scares me, right? Like, and, like, I have parents, which are probably not going to watch this far into the episode, so we're good. But they've taught me everything really, really, like, amazing parents. They're the best parents I could ever ask for. But also my dad probably has to work for a long time because he doesn't really have a lot to show for it. He does now. He's started, like, a solace company. He's got a really good career at JP Morgan. But that taught me what not to do, where, like, I need to get going and build assets and wealth so I don't have to work, right?
Yeah. Rely on the man.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And it also taught me, too, like, now my parents just turned 60. Now they're traveling more and now doing that. I'm like, no, I'm going to work hard and literally play hard.
Good habit.
Yeah.
Like, literally. I'm going to, like, me and my wife take a lot of trips here. But that's what helps my mindset, too, like, believe it or not, is I will book a trip. When I was just an agent and not owning a team and everything, we'd book a trip for the 25th of almost every month, to where I'm like, okay, if I know exactly what I need to do in 30 days for my career, I'm going to do it in 25 days. And then we're going to go to Mexico for 5 days and be back by the new month. And I just condense those goals. But having, like, a trip or something that you really love, have that push you. Because people are either motivated by pain or pleasure. Mine's a little bit of both. But there's nothing better than like being with your wife on a beach and not worrying about like money and just having fun and knowing that your clients don't even really know you're gone, which clients don't watch this far. right. But you literally can go and it's as if you never left your work. And again, it goes back to the balance thing. You just show up for your family. If they want to go on trips, let's say yes. But now they need to know and I need to know that I need to show up for work so we can go on the trip and not worry about it. And then once the trip's done, it's back to showing up for your family and work and then going on another. Like, that's what motivates me is, again, people want to make like, yes, I want to make a bunch of money and do all that. But I literally sell houses to create experiences. I'd rather create experiences than have material things.
Yeah.
Like I'm good with us just having two cars. That's all we need. I don't need to go buy all these cars. I don't need to have this big fancy house, even though we can. I just like creating experiences. Like my best memories are being sending my kids with my wife to Hawaii for a whole month while I stay home and work and then go meet them at the end of the month.
I remember that actually.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever. Like my kids are running around with, you know, all the Hawaiians barefoot in their swimming suit 24/7, running on the beach, going to the store barefoot, like having the island life. Like I love that. That's why I want to succeed, not to have like the cool shiny stuff. I don't care about that stuff.
Gotcha.
Like this shirt was probably like $10. I don't care about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like material things doesn't drive me. But long answer to your question, but I think
we needed every word of it.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for motivation is just putting yourself in that environment because you really and surrounding yourself with people, right? So like what you said on the team, I'm not taking credit for your success at all, like maybe a little sliver to it, but you were attracted to me because I was around with Spring and Justin, put myself there and became like a Spring and Justin for you. But I got there by like being the dumbest in the room. Like I always like wanted to like literally be the poorest in the room, the dumbest, not have the most amount of knowledge, so that naturally I start learning and coming to their level.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think Spring always says eagles fly together, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of quotes in here today, I guess.
Man. I mean, you've been quoting, bro. I was going to touch on the point you said.
I've been studying all these quotes before I came here so I can look really good.
Elder Hutch Foley, I think. He used to be a stake president over the Tongan ward out in Rose Park. And he came to our ward last Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And he was talking about the principle of setting in your mind certain standards that you're going to do and leaving no gray area, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you say that you're going to go to church that day, making sure you lay out your clothes, you know, do everything you need to do to get to that point. So when that comes up, there's no question that you're not going.
Yeah.
And he talked about how like if you did that, things will just flow a lot smoother in your life. So I love how you said that. Like it reminded me of that quote that he gave us. And it's so important, that mindset, like your mindset of thinking of who you could become, you know, in a few years or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like night and day difference right there.
For sure.
Yeah, I kid you not, spirit popping. Because I was thinking the exact same thing. Like when I was hearing him talk, it's just like, you hear people say, well, manifested a universe, like, no, like that's true manifestation. I feel like what you just explained, what Will just explained, like, cause you're making a decision. Like it starts with the decision and then you're literally fulfilling on that decision that you've made and you're creating your life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's ultimately how things start. Like Will just mentioned, like to flow and begin to enter into your life, manifest, right? People like to give the universe power for that.
More credit. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Not sorry. No, this is, I mean, right. Respectfully.
It's God.
Right.
You know, respectfully. But yeah, like, because the power is in us, you know, to be able to create those type of lives. And everybody's joy and happiness comes differently, right? But when you make the choice and you just go, man, like the blessings will come, like the outcomes will come that you make the decisions to.
And this wasn't based on emotion. It wasn't based on motivation. It was a decision and discipline and work, but the work wasn't the focus. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like it wasn't like, oh, like I got to lift these weights to get to this. No, it's like, hey, this needs to be done for these results. And I'm going to do it regardless if I don't need to, like don't want to. So I like how you took the emotion out of it. It's a decision you make.
Yeah.
And then you go. So with that, like, is it, what are some of the goals of like coming closer to Christ with that? How do you, like, how does that intertwine like business and in faith? Because now what I've learned from this is like, oh, it's all encompassing. Like I used to, what I do is like compartmentalize. This is business here. God over here. You know what I mean? And then family over here. But now I'm understanding from this is it's like you need all at all times.
Yeah.
To move.
Yeah. Like real estate, most people's careers like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's us too. Like me and my wife with the gospel, not in believing it or and all that, but like we'll be on a high road, like, hey, temple date every month, and then we miss 3 months, and then we got to get back on this and this. But the biggest thing is what we practice every year, and you guys should all do this with your wives. Like, it's gonna, I promise you, change your whole freaking life.
Taking notes.
I was
taking notes.
Say.
So,
somebody press record.
So we, every December.
Yeah, like we record.
You matter if we record.
Hold it, bro.
That would be awful. So every December, right after Christmas, we've done this for 5 years now. We do a staycation, just me and my wife. So we get a hotel. We have people watch our kids, like my parents. And we go to this hotel for like 48 hours. We literally lock ourselves in the hotel. No kids, just to focus. And we plan out our whole next year. So we will spend 12 plus hours writing out our whole life, what we want to accomplish in 2025. Wow. What we'll do is it'll be categorized of like health, you know, health, marriage, individual, spiritual, career, money, things we want to buy, places we want to go, all that. How many temple dates we want. We probably need add in there how many times we go to church a month with the kids. More realistic, right? All that stuff. And then what we do is we'll write it out. So she'll have a computer, I'll have it. Then we'll share with each other what those are outside the ones we're doing together. And then we go to a hotel. Most hotels have printers. We'll go down to the lobby. We'll print. We'll make a vision board. And we'll always put Jesus in the middle of it and, like, the temple or whatever. And then the whole left side is everything she wants to create in her life next year. Like, so the body she wants, homeschooling with kids, getting our kids into Polynesian dancing, like all that stuff, whatever it is. My side will be like, okay, my team's selling 1,000 units or whatever it is. Chris Hemsworth's body's always on there. Haven't gotten it yet. But all this stuff. But it's her goals, my goals, leading into God's goals for us and, like, spiritual goals. And so now we frame that. It's in our home office where it's framed up there. So it's Jesus, all that stuff. We review our goals, which we could be way better at this, but we try every Sunday night to have companionship inventory, right? Not trying to sound like we're psycho, but we'll literally touch base on our goals, like, you know, a few times a month, and be like, okay, what did you accomplish this week? What are you gonna do next week according to what we just spent 48 hours doing a few months ago? And then we're reaching, okay, man, we haven't gone to the temple in 3 months, maybe we should do that. And that's where we're at right now. We haven't gone in probably like 6 months. But
this is great because
it is. And you say not trying to sound psycho, but that's how it should be. Right. I feel like when it comes with husband and wife, like, it's a partnership, teammates. Like, you should, I feel, counsel like that together. Create the life you want together. Like,
oh, I was saying what's great is that, you know, when we grew up in the church, it's like, go to the church every day, temple every week. You know what I mean? We're showing like real life. Like nobody taught us when we get to this age where we're married with children. That's all the church only told us. You're happy. That was the end of the book. Now we're gonna talk about the youth for the next. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is cool. Of just saying yes. Hey, like, yeah, going to the temple is something we need to focus on, and it's hard. Like, me and my wife are like this. If we plan a time to go to the temple, it has to be sporadic, because if we plan, and I'm not in the chair, but like my wife and I, she'll go right as the session started, and we're in there. She's like, we made it, and I'm like, no, I need it. So to that point, all the way to the temple where we're like bickering, you know what I mean? To get to that time. And then we're there, and then we're like, we shouldn't even go in, and we're bickering. But then we go in, and at the end, we're like,
been there, done that, dude. We've gotten in straight arguments. We've gotten in straight arguments in the parking lot.
Right.
I had one time where it was the dumbest argument, but it's just Satan trying to stop you.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But I'm like, you just go by yourself. She's like, fine. And I'm like, wait. But she did the whole session by herself, and I just sat in the parking lot. Then she came back out, and I was like, man, this is the worst. But that's the thing is, like, all that matters is you try, right? Like,
right.
I'm sitting here right now on this show about this, and we haven't gone in like 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm going to talk to her tonight, and we're going to go. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
It's you're allowed to recommit yourselves to be better. That's what the gospel is not. Like, you can be a better person than you were the day before. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and exactly. That's like, we. There's no miss until the buzzer sounds. You know
what I mean? Key word, bro. One word I would never forget, and the way it was explained to me is in the recommend interview question, the last question, striving. You're striving.
Right. I think everyone misses that too.
To keep. Yes. It's not like you're doing it or you're being perfect, but you're striving to do it. So if it's 6 months, 6 months. If it's convenient for you in 8 months, you got kids, you got work life, like, as long as you're striving, you're working to make it, or you're working to make it happen, like,
absolutely,
that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think there's every member needs to realize that too, because I think there's a massive difference between like doctrine and church culture. Where I think that's why a lot of people maybe leave sometimes, is because they feel like they failed because they're not perfect.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean,
right?
Where it's like, man, if you're just trying, that's all. Like, so many scriptures about that. That's all he's asking, is just to make an effort. You know what I mean?
We're to be perfect in the next life, not now.
Yeah, exactly. The whole purpose of life is, no one's perfect.
I feel like a big part of it is just getting the mind right. Like, because there's a teaching that a big part of our perfection is going to come well beyond the grave, you know, in terms of reaching our full potential. But, like, now is the time to gear ourselves to prepare for that time. And like you just mentioned, a lot of people probably feel that strictness and are just a bit too hard on themselves, I feel.
Totally.
And now we have bad representation out there with the faith because, I have to do this, and they're teaching, we have to do this, and it's not that way.
No.
You know?
At all, yeah. It's just keep trying.
Yeah. It's the the doctrine is out there, the principles are out there for the strongest saint to live by and the weakest.
Yep.
However you follow that, because life is going to go like this. It's never like, we're going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Always up.
It's not always up. And then that's where you grow. I mean, that's amazing how you told the story of you and your wife, because it wasn't a shrink like, down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like in resolve. It was like, hey, this, you can get out of this situation. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And this is that testimony. So, yeah, thank you for...
Of course,
being so authentic,
yeah.
And
that's it's very profound, because that's the way the Savior and Heavenly Father is with us.
Yeah,
you know, He's not kicking us out every time, you know, we make a mistake or anything like that. He's like, all right, like, you can choose to follow me, or you can go down this other path. And so, I think if we all lived our lives like that, you know, in our marriages and in our families and work life and stuff, we would have less chaos in this world, you know.
Yeah.
But we have chaos because we want to do our own thing. We want to be prideful. Yeah. So yeah, man, that was beautifully said, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. We kick them out, huh?
Yeah,
hey, you get on. I can't see you right now.
I love it.
No, that's cool.
Dope, man. Well, thanks, Jace, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate that. Add you to the brotherhood.
Let's go.
It's our BFF episode.
Dream come true.
Yeah. I'm calling Fua after this. Fua, hey.
No. Yes. No, business, faith, and family. I mean, yeah, before we completely part, if there's anything, any last words you'd like to share, whether it be to your family, to our audience, that they could take home a nugget, what would that be?
Kind of what we just were saying. Well, a couple of things. One, you literally can be whatever you want in this life, and God wouldn't put that in your mind if it wasn't possible, right? Two, there's nothing you can ever do, literally, that you can't be forgiven of. And I've like, I'm not saying what I did was the worst thing, but to me it was, you know what I mean? Like I felt I was, it's even thinking about it was the worst feeling ever. Felt like the biggest failure to everybody. But just give it time. If you've made mistakes, it's not going to heal just instantly. It's could take your whole life. Yeah. Where getting forgiveness from those you've hurt, and that could be you as well, forgiving yourself. So I would just say the atonement's real, and just use it. That's what it's there for. It's not just to be forgiven of sins, it's also give you strength through everything else too.
Thank you. So. Awesome, man.
Amen. Love it.
Man,
thank you.
Group hug, guys.
Hey, turn the camera.
Well, yeah, we can't thank you enough for the transparency.
Yeah,
because I feel like you mentioned, we men, we need spaces to be able to open up to talk, and the transparency. There's people going through or have went through what you have gone through, and they need, you know, that other experience to help support and bring them through. So we really appreciate that too. And being vulnerable in that way.
Anytime.
Thanks, man. Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining us on another episode of Brothers in a Foyer, and having our brother Jace Gillis on with us. We are on all major platforms. So check us out on YouTube. Feel free to like, subscribe. We are on Apple Podcasts along with, we have a TikTok account. I mean, we got a TikTok account, so feel free to follow us on there. We're getting it going. And thank you again, and we will see you guys again on Brothers in the Foyer.
Love it.